Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Coming at you from the ATL, from inside the paint and beyond the arc, this is nothing but Ness, your Atlanta Hawks podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Deshaun Tate and Caleb Johnson.
Welcome into Nothing But Nest, another week that we get to bring you an episode. Well, this is episode four now, I believe, of Nothing But Nest. Caleb Johnson in with my... Oh, it's episode five. I've been corrected. Wow. Episode five of Nothing But Nest. Caleb Johnson in with my co-host, Deshaun Tate. So we get to talk some more Hawks basketball and what's been an interesting weekend slash week. And I feel like every time we get together, this team has changed a little bit in one way or another. And here we are again, 9-5 overall. The Hawks are third in the Eastern Conference, first in the Southeast, but I feel like that doesn't even really matter that much. I don't know. I just don't take any of those teams that seriously. Go ahead and give us a follow on social media. My guy Deshaun Tate is at Tate's Take Hoops, and I am, of course, at ATL Johnson 18. Deshaun, how you doing, man?
Man, Caleb, I'm great, dude. Like, listen, this Hawks team, like, for them to not just gain the piece that they did in somebody like a DeJounte Murray, but even lose a couple of the other pieces, and we'll talk a little bit about that more later. Like, I think that they're in pretty darn good shape with where they are. I think it could be worse. It could definitely be a little bit better. But considering some of the turnaround to some key contributors, I think they're in a good spot.
Yeah, since we last spoke, the Hawks have played two games. They went out on the road. They did this whole weird thing again. We talked a little bit about it last week where the Hawks play a team at home and then go out on the road, play that same team. That was the Philadelphia 76ers, which obviously they have quite a bit of history with. That team does not look the same. The Hawks don't look the same. The Hawks come out, look very strong in that first game at home. And then I can't say I'm too terribly surprised, Deshaun, that the Hawks go out on the road to face the same Sixers team, come up short, 121-109. Joel Embiid, obviously everyone knows, had his massive night of what we thought was going to be a huge night for him. Didn't know, you know, 42-10-6. And then he goes off the next night for 59. So Joel Embiid's just having him, he's finally found his rhythm amongst this team, even though I still am not a strong believer in the 76ers team. But I guess, Deshaun, were you too surprised at the Hawks getting the home win over the Sixers, then going out on the road and kind of putting up a stinker, as I would call it?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, listen, when you start trying to put yourself in position to try to prepare for the same team that you just played, you know that they're going to be excited. You know, the crowd is going to be crazy already as it is. It is Philadelphia by the way.
You know, their fan base, something,
if not nothing else. And they almost gave that game away to Atlanta. I mean, they had a big lead against Atlanta in that particular game. And of course, you know, there's a little bit of an asterisk there, maybe just a little bit, only because, you know, you don't have James Harden. I don't know that that's a game that the Hawks still wouldn't have been in position to win, even if James Harden was on the floor. And I know you were about to say something just then.
Well, it was just that you talked about that big lead. The Sixers had a 27-point lead that Atlanta cut down to 6 points in the fourth quarter, something that other teams have been doing to the Hawks. And I found it interesting that Atlanta was able to cut into that lead, but then obviously just a bit frustrating that they couldn't go ahead and finish it out and take it back.
Yeah, the other part of it too, though, is that, you know, when you are, you know, I spoke in the presser with asking head coach Nate McMillan about, you know, how do you get your guys prepared for games like this? You know, what are you telling your guys in the locker room about being focused and honing in? Is there anything that you maybe didn't do, you know, in the first game, whether you win, lose, draw, whatever the case may be, and you want to try to execute in the second meeting? And, you know, he's just saying, listen, we're approaching these games like playoff games, which I think is the best answer he could have given. I mean, I don't think that a better answer could come from that, because they're also playing these games like they are playoff games. Granted, they're getting off to some rocky starts and things like that. I mean, that's going to happen. It's basketball. It's a game of runs or whatever kind of fancy verbiage that you want to sure. use this week. But nonetheless, I mean, listen, you could easily be down by, what did you say, 27 or whatever it is?
Yeah.
And stay down by 27 or not come back, or maybe only cut it within half of 27, but they're cutting it into one and, you know, two possession games. There's something to say about that. And for a team that's not, you know, looking as good as we know and got a good feeling that it's going to look in the future, I think that they're in really good shape. So it ain't time to push the panic button, keep all the sharp objects away.
Can I, there's one part of Nate McMillan's quote when he was talking to you that I liked his answer. What you just mentioned, the fact of he was like, we're looking at this as a playoff series. However, the second part of his answer is what made me not surprised that the Hawks lost this game, which is where he said, we go into the playoff series, you want to win the first game, and then you want to try to steal the second. And I thought, okay, so there's a lot of emphasis on winning the first game. And then there's a lot of emphasis, like, then it's kind of like, well, if you take the second one, sweet. If you don't, oh well, you know, kind of thing. And I think, like, it is an 82-game regular season. I know you don't have to win them all. It kind of, when I heard that in the moment, I thought, are you not putting as much emphasis in game two because you won game one? I don't think that's really the case. But I think there is that understanding of, like, now Philly's really going to game plan because they need to take one of these away from the Hawks. And so it wasn't necessarily that surprising. Here's the other part of that press conference, DeJounte Tate, that we spoke a little bit about last week. And I thought it was interesting what Nate McMillan did in this game against the Sixers. After he told me to my face with a very, you know, a big scowl on his face, I'm not here to experiment. I'm not here to develop. I'm here to win ball games. Did you happen to see, Deshaun, that AJ Griffin played all 12 minutes of the fourth quarter against the Sixers? Does that not feel like experimenting to you? I don't know. I'm just a measly media reporter, DeJounte Tate. I don't know how to take that. I feel like that looked like experimenting to me. No.
Besides the fact that you're not giving yourself nearly enough credit, with the exception of that liquid death stuff that you drink. Listen. I'm going to tell you like this, Caleb. Like, I think that there is a balance. There's a fine line that you do have to draw in the sand, you know, between the I'm not here to experiment, I'm not a scientist type of thing, and the fact that I got to go with who's hot. I mean, listen, yeah. I was even going to ask you this question a little bit later on, but forget it. Let's talk about it right here, right now. If there's a player that's on this roster that you feel good about, not like, all right, I guess we got to put him in, or all right, I don't know what I'm going to get out of this guy today, or, you know, I guess, you know, if this is the way we have to go, we don't have anybody else to choose from. That's not the impression. That's not the feel. That's not the vibe. That's not the energy I get. I get excited when I see AJ Griffin check into the game, because I know exactly what I'm going to get. He's going to be a sharpshooter. Yes, there are things that he can work on. I think we can say that about every player in this league, especially if, you know, he's in his first, you know, 15 games or 14 games or whatever it is of his, you know, professional career. But, you know, the optimism that comes with that, you know, he's going to shoot the ball. He's going to do it confidently. Those are the little things between him and a guy like a Cam Reddish, who those are the little bitty things, the teeny tiny things that you got to look with a magnifying glass or with a microscope is that he's going to shoot it confidently. He's not trying to go out there and do something or be somebody that he's not, okay, and try things that he just thought about or tried it on a video game and just decided, hey, I tried this in practice. I'm going to throw it and insert it into a game. Like, he's just trying to learn, and he's a silent killer. And I think that that's something that is helping this team, going to help this team. So how much is that really experimenting? Maybe a little bit, but in that same token, you got to go with the hot hand. You got to go with the guys that are around you. And I think that that's what he's doing. But it's definitely going to be some questionable moments, that's for sure. And I'm definitely holding my breath every time I see Jalen Johnson get in the game, that's for sure. Well,
that's the thing. It's you know, you talk about AJ Griffin, and I'm thinking third time's the charm, because you go draft Cam Reddish, as you mentioned, and Cam was a guy, let's be honest, he was not a he was going to get his shot up no matter if it was a good shot or a bad shot. That he was just going out there, and it was exciting, but it wasn't necessarily good basketball because he was just going to get shots up. Jalen Johnson, on the other hand, has felt like he's definitely improved massively since we began talking about him at the beginning of the year. However, Jalen Johnson's not a guy who's going to get out on the floor and go get his shot. He's still a little just too scared, too timid to go get his shot unless it's, you know, a dunk or just something really obvious that he should take. AJ Griffin, third time's the charm, feels like he's that middle ground where he's going to take the smart shot, and it's also a high percentage shot. And it's working for him. Now, it seems like what I'm hearing from Coach Nate McMillan, because I have to give a shout out to AJC beat reporter Lauren Williams, who has consistently kept asking Nate about, you know, are we going to see AJ, more minutes for AJ? What's going to happen? You know, you're inserting AJ at different points. Why did AJ go in at the fourth quarter against the Sixers? Because they needed offense, and AJ is going to provide that. What is he not providing yet on a necessarily adequate or above average level? Defense. And that seems to be what Nate's saying is, when he looks at matchups, because Nate loves to throw that out, you know, based on what minutes I'm giving the guys, all has to do with matchups. And he doesn't want AJ to get taken advantage of defensively. Now, I saw some moments against the Bucks where AJ and I believe it was Jalen Johnson were having some communication as they were both trying to help on Bobby Portis, and ended up with a steal for Jalen Johnson because of good communication. And I was thinking to myself, like, okay, you see more of that. And I feel like there has to be more minutes. There has to be AJ Griffin sliding up that you know, rotation of whether Nate wants to expand it to 10 guys or not. AJ Griffin has got to be a part of that rotation, I feel.
One thing on that real quick, and you make for a very good point, because that's very true. Number one, I think that as smart of a player, not just on the floor, in terms of, you know, athletically, but even just so more so between the ears, that makes him such a valuable piece. I think AJ Griffin has noticed that there is a little bit of a void there, even though he's technically, you know, the youngest guy on this roster in terms of, you know, is how much experience he has as a professional player. He realizes that there is a void there where he can teach in his teachable moments, that he can step in, stand in the gap, and be able to show Jalen Johnson things and show one guy this thing. And everybody doesn't have the total package, but I think that, you know, with him having that ability, hey, here's the other thing, Caleb. Number one, I don't necessarily think between those three guys, one thing that they have in common, talking about Reddish, Johnson, and AJ, one thing that they all have in common, I don't think none of them are the most vocal guy.
Correct.
Per se.
Yeah.
Not necessarily always the worst thing in the world, not a bad thing. I mean, hell, ask Kawhi Leonard. He's not the most vocal guy in the world either, but a great basketball player. But I'm going to test your knowledge, and this shouldn't be too difficult. Come on. Work with me, Caleb Johnson.
All right.
What is the other thing that those three guys have in common?
That's why I said third time's a charm, because Duke University.
Okay, Caleb. Yeah. Okay, Caleb. Now we working. My boy Caleb put his thinking cap on this day.
That was an easy one. You gave me a freebie.
All right, I'm gonna throw you a curveball on the next.
Oh, okay. I was waiting for it, but
let me. There's a lot going on in this little brain. My grandmother would probably be really disappointed if she knew of some of those things. That's neither here nor there.
So I mentioned the Bucks game, and that is the next thing that I did want to get into. Is obviously like Hawks lose to the Sixers. You know, it was a lot of things, 18 turnovers. There was a lot of different things. Oh, Onyeka Okongwu not playing against the Sixers, out for personal reasons. That was obviously a void that the Hawks weren't able to fill. And so there, you know, some concerning things happened against the Sixers game. And then you go to the Bucks, where I love Mike Budenholzer, obviously former Hawks head coach, said, yeah, it feels like we're a high school playing our high school rival because of how many times the Hawks have seen the Bucks. Like, it's been, what, 2 times in the preseason and 3 times now in the regular season.
Yeah.
And the Hawks have the Bucks number, which is not something I would have expected to say in 2022, where the Hawks beat and essentially dominate the Bucks 121-106. The importance, you know, the things that stick out to you, all 5 starters in double figures. DeAndre Hunter has a big night offensively. Clint Capella continuing to you know, do his thing on the boards, even though Clint Capella actually had a light night, DeSean Tate. You know, Clint Capella 10 boards, but he's currently averaging the second most rebounds in the league, only behind Rudy Gobert. And guess who's number 3 in rebounds in the league right now?
Clint Capella.
No. Clint is number 2. Rudy Gobert is number 1. Who's number 3?
Now I have to come up with the right answer because you answered my question right.
Right. It should be fairly obvious once again.
No, how about you just no, we're not gonna do Jeopardy music on this one, Caleb. I got jet lag like crazy. I got 2 hours of sleep. Like,
I know.
Come on, Caleb, how you gonna do that to me, bro? I'm half sleep.
It's Giannis though.
Giannis.
But like, did you ever expect a year where Clint Capella, through a significant amount of games, I would say, is out rebounding Giannis Antetokounmpo? Like, I didn't expect that. But and that's with Clint having a rather light night. But I felt like the big thing in this game, as the Hawks beat the Bucks, was that it felt easy. Like, the shots felt easy for Atlanta, and it didn't seem like the shots were falling so easily for the Bucks.
I don't think that's something that's really too difficult to believe, Caleb, and I'll tell you why. We're really not that far removed from what I believe Clint Capella being the top rebounder in the NBA. What was that? If it wasn't last year, maybe the year before.
Two seasons ago.
And he does it so often. I feel like it happened last year. Like, that's just his forte. I'm going to start calling him. We got a new name. So you already know we came up with the name Debo.
Debo. Okay,
for DeJounte Murray, because he steals everything. Okay. So I got a new one for Clint Capella. I was thinking about this on the airplane. You ready for this one?
I'm ready.
I should tell you to guess it since you tried to throw me a curveball question, but you'll never guess it. I'm gonna call him Clint Windex Capella. I'm gonna call him Windex. He's cleaning all the glass. He's cleaning all the glass, baby. Listen, one thing about Clint Capella, let me grab my little handy dandy notebook here. Check this out. I'm thinking to myself, when's the last game that he tallied single digit rebounds? He's averaging about 12 a game. We've got to go all the way back to, I mean, granted, you know, he's got 3 of them on this season. Okay, he had 5 rebounds against Toronto. Granted, maybe that wasn't that long ago, but think about this. 4 of the last 7 games, he's at least bare minimum been in the teens.
Yeah.
Like, that is very significant. And rebounding makes a humongous difference when it comes. Like, if you ask, you know, any coach in this league, you ask any player, some of these little things, second chance points, getting on the ground after loose balls, all of these different things, giving yourself a second opportunity, all being rebounding. Like, and it's not that they have a ton of size or girth where they're going to out rebound opponents. I mean, yeah, they're going to be bigger than the Pistons. Everybody is, you know, but outside of that, like, there's very few teams that I don't know if they're going to have the size advantage. Now, granted, you got to take some, not necessarily with a grain of salt per se in this matchup against Milwaukee, because I don't care. I mean, listen, they look like a team yet still who many people are going to either favor to A, represent the Eastern Conference to go to the finals, or B, win the whole damn thing. And the Hawks just came away with two wins in the last three meetings, and they were significant victories. Yeah. Don't forget, not even just the one, you know, the one on Monday night. Yeah, that looked really good because they had a lead and they held on to it. But they fought back in that second meeting that they had, which was their only one at home. They were down a good amount and stormed all the way back and blew them out by somewhere close to like 20 points. Yeah. I think it was 16, but the record, I mean, the final score didn't really reflect how important, you know, it was of Atlanta to take advantage of Milwaukee. And this is the last point that I'm going to make to you, Caleb. It's about matchups. Some people, it does not make a difference what it looks like on paper or to everybody else. Have you heard of another term? Styles make fights. The matchups within themselves sometimes, it's just difficult. When you can put a player who's been doing, I'm not sure, Caleb, and I'll dare anybody who's listening to this podcast to think of a better name, of anybody who's played, anybody in the NBA who has defended Giannis Antetokounmpo over the course of the last 2 years and done a better job than Onyeka Okongwu. I mean, the dude has been amazing. I don't know what it is about that matchup, but he's been great. And honestly, I don't think that the Hawks are getting nearly enough credit for how good they have been, even though there's some other areas I think they still need a little assistance.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, because it's one of those. I remember when we first started this podcast that there were some things that I had kind of seen just through the early part of the season, and then kind of extrapolating from last season, where I was going, look, I see this transition of Onyeka Okongwu and Clint Capella maybe swapping roles and maybe would be better off doing that. However, like, I got to give Clint his props.
Yeah.
That, you know, his improvement from last season, because you talk about thinking it was last year. No. The reason why last year sticks out to me is because Clint Capella looked like a shell of himself last season compared to the season before, where it was like, you know, this guy is a big part of why the Hawks were in the Eastern Conference Finals. So to transition back to that, because Clint's been asked about a lot of it in post-game press conferences and in practice, where Nate multiple times had talked about, this is the Clint from 2 years ago. And Clint goes, I'm not the Clint from 2 years ago. I'm 2 years older. You know, I wish I was that young. But obviously there is some joking of, you know, being in a better health standpoint and just naturally just feeling better. But you want to talk about big men, and you gave Onyeka his credit, and he absolutely deserves it, because you think of, like, Onyeka is, he's a big guy, but he's not necessarily a super tall guy. You know, Giannis outsize and outweighs him pretty substantially, and yet he's holding his own. It's kind of Al Horford like is, I think, of what Onyeka's been able to do, moving his feet, being very active in the paint, and it's paying dividends for the Hawks, which is like, okay, you know, don't listen to Caleb, don't make any rash movements trying to switch these guys around. Like, they're playing really well in their roles, and it's why it was, you know, I think it was a not something to overlook, the fact that Onyeka wasn't a part of Saturday's game when they lost to the Sixers. But then coming back and being able to handle Giannis, a really big deal. But Deshaun, there's plenty of good to talk about from the Bucks game, and I think there's still some good things to look at from what the Hawks did against the Sixers and have been doing all season. There is something a bit problematic that we're far enough into the season to say, you know, okay, this is something the Hawks have got to fix. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bai. It's Wonder Water. What makes Bai so great? It's simple. From raspberry lemon lime by Sydney Sweeney to Zambia Bing cherry and Palavo pineapple mango, Bai has antioxidants, electrolytes, and no artificial sweeteners. So for flavorful hydration, choose Bai. It's Wonder Water. Learn more about Bai and discover all of the exotic, bold flavors at drinkbai.com.
Okay, Deshaun, I said before the break, you know, there's this problem that the Hawks have been experiencing all season long, quite honestly, and it's shown up the last couple of games once again. Hawks' three-point shooting has not been good, and that's being very kind. Deshaun, yeah. would you like to hear some numbers that might scare you a bit?
I'm not sure if you want, you know, anybody that may be watching this, hopefully only hearing it, because I don't think anybody wants to see what I had for breakfast this morning. As you're going to run some of these numbers off, this is going to make me want to hurl a little bit, but I'm all ears.
All right. So when it comes to Hawks three-point shooting in 2022, this season, the Hawks are now, after the win against the Bucks. A win against the Bucks, and you would think that would improve their numbers. The Hawks are 29th out of 30 teams in three-pointers made. The Hawks are also 26th in the league in three-point shooting percentage. That's not good. So, Deshante, yeah. The reason why I wanted to bring this up, and I wanted to get your basketball mind involved, is to explain to the people, when your three-point shooting isn't going well, how does that affect the rest of your offense?
My basketball mind. I hope nobody has high expectations. That's for sure. Here's the first thing, Caleb. Realistically, number one, I want to know who number 30 is on that list, and who number 27, 28, 29, 30 is on the second half of that list. Realistically speaking, I think that it's collectively. You know, Nate McMillan always goes up there and talks about being a fist and togetherness and all that. Well, it's everybody's responsibility for the most part. I'm going to run a couple things down to you real fast, Caleb, okay? You want to know how it affects the offense and some of these other things when the shots aren't falling? First and foremost, just to be fair, only to be fair, because I know it's still early and guys are still learning one another, you don't have your Bogey Bogdanovich.
You're right.
That is a major piece for the a potential starter even for this team. You also don't have your what is it? Red Velvet? Was that the name? You don't have that Kevin Herter.
Kayvon.
Kayvon, I guess. I hate that name, by the way. I don't like the Kayvon thing. I just want to let you know that.
Oh, come on.
I wasn't a fan of the Kayvon, and I'm not sure how I feel about calling another grown man Red Velvet. But nonetheless. But he was a big piece in terms of, you know, perimeter shooting for this particular team. Let's start out with the guy who it feels like takes all the three-point shots. That's what he's known for. When you get the credit for it, you also got to take what comes with that. That's Trae Young. Trae Young is shooting right now, and I get it. I don't want to compare what he's shooting over the course of 14 or 15 games to an entire season, his last, what, 3 or 4 years. But he's shooting 30%. That's the lowest that he has shot in the NBA in his career. I don't think that the lack of defensive stability or consistency helps that at all. You know, when it appears sometimes that it's not just about the shots that Trae is taking, it's about when or he's taking some of those shots. The flow. The rhythm, soon as things are just starting to kind of get clicking for them, it's like, no, what are you doing shooting that type of thing? A lot of them are coming long off the rim. They're long chase down rebounds. They're out, guys are out of position to rebound the ball, and so that doesn't have a good feeling to it. To be fair, we talk so much about Debo being DeJounte Murray on this team and how good he has been, but guess what? There's only been one or two other seasons that he's had that he shot as poorly as he has this year. That's 32%. John Collins, the $125 million man, Caleb, 24%. You know what stands out outside of the fact why that stands out the way that it does? Is because John is the guy, as respectfully as possible that I can put this, he's not a guy that got a lot of tools in his tool set. You know, he doesn't have a lot of skill set. He's run and jump. He's a lot of athleticism, okay? And I think that he has more than the ability of being a perimeter threat, because when Trey is penetrating to the basket and he's going to have to start kicking out to guys, that is John Collins in that corner standing there. He's known for hitting that shot. He has to be better in that particular department. Jalen Johnson, who you brought here, let me tell you something, Caleb, just in case people don't know, and I'm sorry for getting long-winded, but no, I get excited about this. Jalen Johnson was a player, one of the top players, top three, top five ranked players coming out of high school. One of the reasons why, obviously, is because of his size, but because of a guy his size that can shoot it as well as he does. Nobody ever walked around and said Jalen Johnson's the most aggressive guy they ever seen. Nobody ever walked around and talked about his ridiculous athleticism and all these other things. They talked about his ability to shoot and to be like that stretch four, ideal, perfect type of piece. That's what they're looking for on this team. 17%. It almost has a feel of, why did you draft this guy? And then, of course, you know that the Holiday brothers were brought here for defense, not for jump shooting. So from that standpoint, they have to do it collectively as a unit. I don't want to kill the guys, but I'm going to tell it how it is, Caleb. You know, we don't sugarcoat anything on this program. Maybe those other ones, but they have to be better. This is a three-point shooting league now, if you can't tell. All the kids are doing it in the youth leagues. All the grown men are doing it at the YMCA and the church leagues. It's because of the league that it is. It's becoming more of an international style of play, hence why we're seeing so many, you know, three-point shots being attempted, and it's just something they're going to have to get better at. But the positive spin on this, Caleb, is the fact that they're beating the type of caliber teams that they are, the Bucks, not just once, but twice. Beating the Pelicans, who was one of the hottest teams coming into State Farm Arena at the time. While shooting bad, they still look pretty damn good. So that is your Tate's take for the day, Caleb. Long story longer. Well,
and that's why, like, honestly, that was the big point that I wanted to get to is, you know, the Hawks are 9-5 while being 29th in the league and three-pointers made. You want to know who number 30 is? The Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, okay. Of course. Why did I not? Yeah, it's time to go to bed. It's time for a nap. How did I not know that?
Because they've been terrible. And the Lakers record, not comparative to what the Hawks record is right now. You take it a step further and you start looking individually at players. You talked about Trae Young having a slump of a year. That's all you can call it. He's actually been asked about it recently, and it's funny because, you know, Trey does the whole, it's probably not the only slump I'm going to go through in the rest of my career, but also I don't look at numbers. I don't look at all that stuff. I just look at, you know, taking the best shot available, and it's like, oh, interesting. You don't look at the numbers. Okay, sure. Trey Young is 31st in the league and three-pointers made with 30 this season. So that's out of the top 50, Trey is tied for 31st with, I think, like seven other players. No other Hawks player is in the top 50 of three-pointers made. No Hawks player at all is in the top 50 of three-point shooting percentage, where I said the Hawks currently rank 26th out of the league, and you got a bunch of, you know, not very good teams mostly that are below the Hawks in that. The reason why I wanted to bring this up, Deshaun, was people might forget what this Hawks shooting was like in 2021 and to finish out 2022. Last season, the Hawks were 11th in three-pointers made, and the Hawks were second in the league in three-point shooting percentage, where they are now currently 26th. That's a major fall off. And the reason why we like you give them their credit because they're going through this massive struggle and still winning ball games. Yeah. But you specifically look at the five losses because I went ahead and I was like, let's see how much does three-point shooting affect these wins and losses. Against the Hornets, they shot 23%. Against the Bucks in that first Bucks loss, the Hawks shot 45%, which you go, okay, that's actually a good night. Still managed to lose. Against the Raptors, the Hawks shot 38% in their loss to the Raptors. That's not too terribly bad of a three-point shooting percentage night.
No, it's not.
But then you look again at the Jazz and the Sixers, shot 29% in three. Against the Jazz, shot 25% from three against the Sixers. So it's just like three-point shooting, not consistent for the Hawks this year. It's strange. You're right. They need Bogey back. I think when AJ Griffin plays more minutes, maybe his three-point shooting should increase. But the one that, you know, Hawks fans aren't going to love is the fact of, if I remember correctly, and I had this pulled up earlier and I clicked out of it, but I think Kevin Huerter is second in the league right now in three-point shooting. Like it's one of those kinds of things that your Red Velvet, your Kayvon that you traded away to the Kings. Granted, he's getting a lot more opportunities with the Kings than he probably would be with the Hawks. Yeah. Not a great look though. That 3-point shooting has fallen off big time, and a piece that you had that you, I don't know, in my opinion, it kind of gave away essentially to keep yourself under the luxury tax. That's what that move was. Save you some money. That piece has gone on and is shooting really well when it could really improve your team right now. Deshaun, you started off this by saying we could say all the good things about the Hawks and that sort of thing. Yeah. I think my thing is with this podcast is I would rather be honest with people. I think it's real easy to talk about the good, and we do talk about the good. The fact that the Hawks, third in the Eastern Conference, have won 9 games. But a lot of the time, you got to be honest. You got to be realistic. And this 3-point shooting it's terrible for the Hawks this season. And it's something that I truly believe you can get this far in the season without shooting the ball well from three and be fine an entire season. No way are you going to be able to stay 29th and 26th and win games.
Yeah, we don't play radio on this program. You know,
look, here, I would take this thing to radio.
Well, here's the other part though, Caleb, that you can look at this glass half full. You can look at a glass half empty. And I think that that's good when you can be objective. And I love to learn what side people are on. I love to see people that can play devil's advocate. Because while we're talking about how bad they are from three, we're also talking about two guys, maybe the best duo in the backcourt in the East. I mean, I know that I got a whole list over here of guys that they can, you know, be in competition with, but those two guys for Atlanta in that backcourt duo are also in the top five in assist in this league without 3-point shots falling and converting. So, I mean, granted, I'd love to see when some of these, when the Hawks start doing the things that are going to catch people's attention more and more. I mean, they already are, but just more and more and more. The defensive schemes for these opposing teams are going to begin to change because they're going to see what the Hawks are shooting from three. They're going to see where Trey and DeJounte's bread and butter is, which is penetrating to the basket and throwing that infamous lob to Capella or throwing that lob to John Collins or whatever. It's going to force guys to, you know, stay home and force you to swing or essentially, you know, clog that middle to prevent that and make you swing the ball outside and guys hit shots. Then we'll see how those assist numbers change for those two players. So I think that that's another piece. Doing what they're doing, you know, right now without shots hitting and falling, just imagine what they will be when they are. The spacing. I can't wait to see it. I'm excited to see it. You know, I love the three. I really like the 3-point shot. Oftentimes, I do feel like it's overused. But nonetheless, you know, when you have guys that are capable of doing it, and doing it very well, which I think all of these guys have that ability to do, with the exception of maybe a Capella or a couple others that you don't even want shooting that shot, I think they'll be just fine.
Yeah. My last thing on this is just, it's this team has got to get better at the 3-point shot because of the spacing. And that's something that, like, they're winning games even with the lanes clogged, because teams are giving them open looks and they're not knocking them down. And so that's what, you know, you think of Bogey coming back, being able to hit those shots, then you can finally spread some teams out defensively. And that spacing opens up. And I also believe, too, that Trey's not going to continue like this. Like, the shot is going to fall for him because I truly do. But, like, he comes to the podium and talks about the work that he puts in. Mm-hmm. I don't doubt that for a second. Like, I think this guy is putting in some serious work. It's not clicking for him. But when it does, and when teams do have to spread out and that spacing does hit for the Hawks, that's when I go, like, you talk about my optimism, like, sky's the limit for this team.
For sure.
Because of what they're already figuring out right now. Now to
Sean.
Just
give me just 2 seconds. And we forgot about one critical piece that was on that team last year, too, who is a big-time threat as well, and that's Danilo Gallinari. Yep. So I don't want to forget about that guy, too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Gallo goes to Boston, unfortunately, you know, suffers that injury in the offseason, and he's out for the season. But speaking of Boston, the Hawks face the Celtics this week on Wednesday. That's going to be a big game, Deshaun, not only for the players on the court, but I don't know if you saw the Hawks announcement that Jeezy's going to be in the building, and he's performing at halftime.
Young Jizzle.
Right? I can't lie. I'm like, really excited about that. I've seen Jeezy perform one other time, and it was at a New Year's at the Atlanta, when, you know, they do the peach drop. He performed like 4 or 5 years ago.
What's your favorite Jeezy album, Caleb?
Album? Ooh, that don't do that to me, Deshaun.
Yeah, come on. You gave me all the smoke. You threw me all the curveballs. You know I don't like baseball like that.
Yeah.
I'll give you mine. And you can just give me maybe your favorite Jeezy song or whatever, what have you. There's just something about, I was coming here to Atlanta. I don't think I had moved here yet, but I was on that weird verge between, I think I'm going to go back to Atlanta, I'm going to move there type of thing. And then I ended up coming here and visiting and never turned around and went back home. That's how much I loved it. But it was right in that 2005, right up in that range, the TM-101 Trap or Die movement. You know, kids are getting suspended and sent home because they're wearing T-shirts with snowmen on it. I mean, dude, that whole movement within itself, plus he shows Detroit a lot of love on the regular too. Like, Jeezy is actually one of my favorite artists, like, of recent history. I like Jeezy a lot. I like the movement. My president is black thing, I think that went a long way for a lot of people. It had a lot of significance, I think, in terms of you know, getting people to go out there and vote and whatever, what have you. I think that was a big movement at the time.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. So I played the entrance for me and my wife into our reception included a Jeezy song, and I was trying to remember what it was. The I'm blanking on it right now.
Wait. Hold on.
It's gonna bother me.
Rewind. I know we don't have to spend a lot of time on this. You said that your entrance.
Yes.
Repeat this for the people one more time, because I'm fascinated.
I'm trying to find. It's gonna bother me, and I'll think of it later. I'm blanking on it right now, but I know it was it might not be a Jeezy song, but Jeezy was featured in it. My favorite Jeezy song is actually more of a recent one, and it's All There. Just because. So that's for that musical tangent that we just went down on. The big thing though is obviously Deshaun, the Hawks playing the Celtics. I feel like I don't have a lot to talk about the Celtics team other than just going, still good. Okay. And dare I say, because of the way that the Hawks have been able to play the Bucks, I'm very curious to see the Hawks leveling up their talent against the Celtics and kind of seeing where this goes, because I know a lot of people were putting their eggs in the basket of believing the Bucks are the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of the opinion the Celtics are. I still think, you know, you got to get that credit of you go to an NBA Finals coming into that next season. You got to get that credit unless you just completely blew up the roster. And I know Ime Udoka, you know, getting let go or whatever, that whole scandal is going to cast a shadow over that team. And I didn't think they would be as good this year, but the players didn't change for the most part. And so that's why this is a really, really, really talented Boston Celtics team.
No, and it is. And I mean, listen, they've even added a piece who I feel like number one rookie of the year in his year. But even more so, a very important piece, the quarterback to a football team being the point guard position, even if it is coming off the bench. Malcolm Brogdon, who can, you know, is a very intelligent player, very smart, high IQ, very cerebral, very simple, maybe a little athletically challenged a little bit, but still gets the job done. One of those big guards who can defend very well. I'm interested to see how that's going to – we were talking about some of the best backcourt duos in the NBA. People are automatically going to start talking about, you know, I don't know if, you know, Jaylen Brown is the two and Tatum is the three, or Tatum is the two and Brown is the three. Either way, no matter how you're looking at it, slice it, dice it, shape it, or mold it, the Hawks are going to have their hands full defensively, because not only do you have a guy like a Malcolm Brogdon, who anybody that comes from UVA, I mean, just ask DeAndre Hunter, they can play defense. They may not be able to throw a rock in the ocean from the boat, but they play defense damn good. So you consider, you know, one of those guys being defended by him. And then who's the other guy? The guy that I feel like is going to try to intentionally mix it up with Trey, get under his skin, or with DeJounte, one of the two, and you already know where I'm going. It's that damn Marcus Smart. And that's where I think, so we don't have to get into the Tatum and Brown and this and that. Those two guys alone, from a defensive standpoint alone, they're just coming off of a finals. They've exceeded my personal expectations. A lot of people might say, hey, why is this even so surprising for you? They're just coming off the finals, but a lot has changed for them. And some things just really hasn't changed. Clearly, they're playing very well. And not only has the Hawks went ahead and took down twice the number one seeded team in the East, being the Milwaukee Bucks, now they got a chance to do it against number two. How often are people going to keep on doubting this Hawks team? I want to ask you something. Since you said you don't have a lot to speak on about, you know, Boston, and this one is just kind of off the rails a little bit, but I'm curious of this question because I wrote it down. I said, I'm going to ask Caleb, what is one of the things that you don't think that Atlanta can afford? Take that wherever you want. It can pertain to the season. It can pertain to the game against Boston on Wednesday. It can pertain to whatever. Just name one thing that you don't think they can afford. And I'll give you a second to think about it, because I'm going to give you my answer. I don't think that they can afford to pay too much attention to the newspaper clippings that's about to be coming for them and how good and how great that they are. I mean, I think that they still, ideally in a perfect world, you know, just still kind of floating, not, you know, flying under the radar, if you will, for a lot of people. You know, stay away from the don't look now, but here comes the Atlanta, because that's coming. Like, that's going to happen. And I'm a firm believer in that, Caleb. But I just don't want them to get up too caught up in the, you know, people disrespecting us, acting like we're a surprise to be here, like we're shocking people by competing the way that we have been, and, you know, the whole chip on your shoulder type of mentality.
That was
so that's
it.
Just the chip on your shoulder. You know, I got to give you the chip on the shoulder at some point.
It's funny because my takeaway of what the Hawks can't afford to do was the Hawks can't afford to take the chip off the shoulder. Because I think that's like all of these guys play with that to some extent. Whether, you know, you look into Trey, you're too small and he can't do this and he can't do that. DeJounte Murray, his chip on his shoulder, he just had an entire franchise who could have built around him who decided we don't want to. We would rather trade you away to Atlanta and get a bunch of first round picks that we can then build around those pieces. You know, Clint Capella traded away. John Collins, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're too small, they give you a big contract, you're not living up to it. DeAndre Hunter, you want to talk about chip on the shoulder of, you know, underperforming, the team should trade you and move on from you. All of these guys, and that's before you even get to the bench, in which you're on the bench, so you should have a chip on your shoulder because you're not a starter. So, I think you get into what the Hawks can't afford is to take the chip off the shoulder. I don't think they will, but you make a very fair point that you go a week where you beat the Bucks, and if you beat the Celtics, then maybe you feel like, I don't need that chip anymore. You know, it's fine. You know, we are the team that should be looked at in a different way. I find it interesting, though, the Celtics have only lost against Eastern Conference teams, and, you know, two of them have come against what I think is going to be a really, really, really good team. You know, top three when we get to the end of the season, the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm just a strong believer in that team. I wasn't before the season, but how they've played so far has turned me into one. But, yeah, so two losses to the Cavs and then a loss to the Chicago Bulls. That's it for the Celtics this season. So the Hawks get a win, and that can really build some momentum. But to your point, Deshaun, can't let it affect them and make them think that they are, you know, more talented and can just, because that's how you get back in a situation where you get third quarter, fourth quarter, and you let leads fall away. So it feels like all of these things the Hawks have experienced so far through the early part of the season has been just kind of, you know, those little bit of those building blocks to get them to a point. So I'm very curious to see how the Hawks deal with the Celtics this season. That is all the time we've got, though, Deshaun, for this episode of Nothing But Nest. Come back and listen to us on Thursday after the Celtics game as we'll react to that and look ahead to the rest of the weekend. But thanks, everybody, for listening to Nothing But Nest. Catch you on Thursday.